Good morning. Good morning, good morning. So I'm just excited for this morning, you guys. I'm excited to come together and just bless the Lord with you. As I was reading this morning, it just really touched me to remember and be reminded that God made us in His image. You know, He made us in His likeness so that we could co-labor and do things with Him. And that just really blessed my soul, because even though He knew that we would fall short at some point or another, He still said yes, and He still chose us. And Jesus still got up on that cross, right? Like in this season, I'm just reminded of the joy that our Savior came, our little baby Jesus. He came and He endured the world as a man so that we could live with Him forever in eternity. And so if you guys will just stand with me. Yes, Jesus. I just want us to put our hands out and allow the Lord to come in and just bless us with His presence and the things that He believes of you. As you're worshiping Him today, that you would just allow Him to also speak the kind words that He has on His heart for you and just be listening. So Jesus, I just thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for being here with us today. And I just say, come in a mighty way, Lord, and just make your tangible presence known in this place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Just one. Stay, oh, just dwell in your house. Spend hours and my days on you. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as that song says, we choose to open our hearts. Get out of our own head, Lord. Choose just to give you this opportunity, Lord, to touch us right now. Deep in our being, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would just come into this place. This place, Lord, our hearts, our lives, Lord. And do a fresh work. Thank you, Jesus. This is a time that we want to pray for Yakima, and I want to do something a little different this morning. I know that each and every one of us, Lord, have loved ones that we want the Lord to touch. And I just want you that as I pray for Yakima, and I pray for those to be touched this time of celebration of the Lord's birth and His coming for us to be saved and delivered, that Christmas would not just be a celebration of just exchanging gifts and exchanging, you know, dinners with each other, but it would really be a celebration of what God has done for all of us, for all of mankind. So let's just believe that this morning. And if you have someone that you know that really needs the Lord and that has been resisting Him, or you haven't been able to get through to Him, maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a sister, maybe it's a mom or dad, maybe it's a close friend at work. Just hold them in your heart as I pray this. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, for Yakima. Lord, we pray that there would just be an atmosphere in this place, Lord. Not just an atmosphere, Lord, of holiday cheer, Lord, but an atmosphere, Lord, of your presence. Lord, an atmosphere of truth, Lord, of what Christmas really means. Lord, that you left your place of glory, Lord, and you humbled yourself and came in the form of a child, came in the form of man, Lord, and that you laid down that place of glory, Lord, so that you could take up a life here with us, that you could live a sinless life, Lord, and at the end of your life, Lord, you could be offered up, Lord, as a pleasing offering, Lord, to the Father, and that there would be a restoration for us back to the Father. That there would be an atonement made, Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you did in giving your only Son. You love the world so much. Lord, let that love permeate the hearts of our loved ones. Let it permeate the hearts of those, Lord, that we hold dear to us and haven't received you yet. We just release that truth into this place, Lord, into Yakima County right now in Jesus' name. Let your truth reign. Lord, let your truth reign. Let your love reign, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And likewise, we pray, Lord, for our nation. We pray, Lord, that as chaos tries to reign, Lord, that you would just come in, Lord, like a flood. You'd raise a standard up against the chaos, Lord, and you would allow your peace to rule. Lord, we pray for the hearts of our leaders, Lord, that you would just draw them to yourself. Draw them, Lord, to make the kind of decisions, Lord, that are righteous and true. Those that are being deceived, Lord, we pray that you'd remove the lies from them, Lord, and let them be exposed to the truth and that they would be made free. We just ask, God, that you would do a supernatural miracle in our land. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Good job. Praise the Lord. So just to invite her up. Tanya, would you come up? We're going to pray for you. We'll pray for you, but you can stand in the gap for your mom. Thank you, Lord. Tanya has suffered loss, her dad, and her mom immediately after her dad went to be with the Lord, went into the hospital. And so would you just extend your hand out? And honey, would you come up? Guys, would you come up? We're just going to lay hands on her and believe for a miracle work of the Lord in her mom and in her family. Lord, I just lift Tanya before your throne of grace right now, Lord. And as she stands here, Lord, we just believe, God, that we're not just laying hands on her, but Lord, we're laying hands on her family. And Lord, we pray right now, God, that you would just do a miracle in her mom. Lord, that you would allow her mom to just be delivered and released, Lord, from this anxiety or whatever it is that's plaguing her, Lord, and that your peace, Lord, would come upon her. Lord, we pray right now that there would just be a peace that would come over Tanya's family, especially her sisters, Lord, that they would be able to trust in you and rest in you and realize, God, that God is at work in their lives. Lord, we just pray that you would just continue to do a mighty work, Lord, in Tanya. Let her speak as your voice into the family, Lord. Give her words and give her wisdom, Lord, and just continue to let your perfect will, God, be done in this family. What the enemy is meant for evil, Lord, we know that you can make good, so we release that into this family in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, just let your love permeate this family right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Continuing to bring peace and stability.
Amen.
I know it doesn't seem. It seems like things are so chaotic, but that there would be a stillness in you.
Yes.
Against all odds. And in our way, that even if there's a little bit of doubt, that God is still good. And that you're not wrong to feel the way that you're feeling. Okay, Tanya? You're not.
Thank you, Lord. It's okay. Thank you, Lord.
It's okay to be discouraged.
Yeah.
Just don't stay there.
Yeah, we just break fear off this family now in Jesus' name. Yes. Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I have a few announcements. Youth. Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30. They're having a great time. They're continuing to... it's not up on the screen? I don't know. It's there. Oh, hang on. Why do we just... technical difficulties, so just keep coming.
Youth on Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30, and it's downstairs now, and they're having a wonderful time. And we're loving that they can be back in the church, and I think they're loving it just as much. So, again, if you have any questions, you can see Pastor Eric or Pastor Nancy. They have all the information. regarding that. And then on Tuesday night is a women's meeting. It's a Zoom meeting, and we have it with several people coming that Zoom in from Utah, a few from Michigan once in a while, and then our ladies from here. And so we just have a wonderful time just connecting with each other over Zoom. Even though it's not in person, it is. We don't have a problem being intimate over Zoom. We love it, and we're open for anybody to talk, and it's just a great time. And then on Wednesday nights is for the men on Zoom, and they meet from 7 to 8 with my husband, and they have a lot of guys. How many guys do you have?
Oh, we sometimes have up to 9.
Yeah, so if you would like, have we got it yet?
Mm-mm.
If you would like any information on that, come see Pastor Mike afterwards. We're having technical difficulties, so we can't give you the phone number. But if you need his phone number, come and get it from him after church, and he'll give that to you.
There you go.
And then tithe and offering.
Yep.
Long time ago, Jesus spoke to our hearts, and he said, do not take an offering. Do not have ushers walk in the aisle passing bags. Let them give. Let them give freely. And since then, we have just let it be between you and Jesus. And he's allowed us to keep the lights on and the heat rolling. And he has provided. And we are so thankful. So if you would like to give, you can go to One Life Family Worship, olfw.net.
OneLifeFamilyWorship.com.
.com, and it's easy under the giving button, and you can just follow the links, and it'll take you there to help. Are we still?
We're still not there, but that's okay. I do want to let you guys know that we had a great crew here yesterday, and if you see, we are decorated for Christmas. Isn't that awesome?
Thank you.
Thank
crew.
You, everyone who came. Yes, you guys did a great job, and we appreciate it, and we get to all enjoy together our labor. We did have a little accident yesterday, and should we say what happened?
Baby Jesus got broken.
Oh, my gosh. It was so sad.
It was traumatic for me.
Yeah. It wasn't like... Hope wasn't able to fix it. But she wrapped him in more swaddling clothes.
And she laid him in the manger. So, she did that, yes.
So it was much more biblical than before. So but we want to let you guys know we don't have the slide up because the system's rebooting right now. And I don't know
the
what happened.
The
slide up for December 24th.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that?
So this is the first time we've ever met on Christmas Eve. It's going to be for 1 hour from 6 to 7. We're going to have our candlelighting service. And we hope you can join us. It is a beautiful time that we all get to hold a candle and the lights are out and it's just glowing in here. It's just beautiful. And we worship the Lord for one solid hour and then we go and do our family stuff. So we hope that you can join us. There'll be special singing. There will be, it's just a wonderful time, that we get to be with everybody and just ring in that time, Jesus first. So we hope you can join us from 6 to 7 on Christmas Eve. I think that's a Friday, isn't it? Christmas Eve? Yeah.
I don't know.
I know he left. Did he leave? Oh.
I don't know. Our projector's not working. Yeah, and smell that smell. Is that what it was? Oh, that can't be good. Huh?
That was the pop earlier.
Oh, so our projector just... popped, and that's probably the bulb, right? Yeah. I was wondering what that smell was. That was interesting, wasn't it? Okay, well just you guys can open your Bibles or your phones if you want to.
Imagine that.
Yeah, what a concept. I had a great slide and everything I had worked on, so yeah, I know, right? So I can show you on my iPad. Actually, you guys, if you want to turn around for a second, you can see the slide.
It's on the back wall.
On the back wall.
Show it to us, babe. Wise men and women still seek him.
Yeah, there's a card, a Christmas card out there that says wise men still seek him. And different card makers use that. And I love that that phrase, but I really wanted to make it wise men and women still seek him. Yeah. Because I know a lot of individuals are fine with men, and they know that it basically is both male and female, but I wanted to specify that today. So obviously, we're going to be talking about the Magi, as some people think, three wise men. We have three up there in our nativity scene. How many know, though, that it may not be three? That's go ahead, you can say
something. Well, custom is that it wasn't three, that it was 12 wise men seeking him. But they, by association to the gifts that were given, they brought it down to three. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But custom is that actually there were 12, at least a dozen men seeking him. That
right.
were wise men, magi, which actually is where we get the word magician.
Mm-hmm.
They're astrologers, they're...
astronomers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They were wise individuals that were studying scriptures, studying, writings. They were studying the stars. And I believe through divine inspiration, they were given the instructions of what they were to look for in the sky, of what was going to tell them that Messiah was born, that the King of the Jews was being born. And so let's go ahead and read that story. This is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Good job. It's a lot. So when we read this story, everybody's probably heard this story before, has probably seen it enacted in different in different situations on different shows and dramas. Yes. Most of the time, they have these three individuals in the show show up when Jesus is in the manger, right? Just like we see here, that they're coming to the manger scene.
Offering gifts.
But what most likely really happened is that they came months after Jesus was born. They probably, it could have been up to 2 years. When Herod did ascertain or ask the wise men when they did first see the star, we see that in Matthew around verse 16, that he, after the wise men return and don't go back the way that that they were going to go to Herod. Yes, and the angel says, nope, don't go. Go another way back to your own village, your own house, your own place where you're going to go return to. And they ended up, basically not following through with his plan. He gets really mad and he kills all of the babies in that area, 2 years and under. So we know that by the time that they saw the star and the timeline from when they had first seen it, that it had been basically about 2 years. Now, we don't know exactly how old Jesus was, but we know in some translations it says that it says that he actually was in a home that they came to, not in a manger scene. So this isn't necessarily, important to, to nail this down. And you don't have to go and tell people, when they've got, nativity scene up. Yeah, but they don't belong there. You don't need to do that. But why I think this is so important, because I think it continues to convey that it was in the fullness of time that Jesus came. Mm-hmm. That it would, that not only was the earth prepared, but all of the entire universe was prepared so that the stars communicated the sign of Messiah. That it was, some people say, it happens every so, we don't know. Whatever happened communicated to these wise men that the King of the Jews was born, Messiah was being born. Do you have anything?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So I just want to go over a few ideas that come to me out of this, and Gabe might have something else, but I like this story to really give us an idea of what it means to be seeking the Lord, because that's what these individuals are doing. They're seeking to see God. They're seeking to honor God. They're seeking to communicate what God is doing with gifts and with honoring in them with their presence. And so when you seek the Lord, He will be guiding your journey. When you, not as wise people, just as regular people, He's the one guiding our journey. And I get this from this scripture where it says, "And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was." I don't know if they lost track of the star or... they knew that Jerusalem was the main hub. That Jerusalem was the main hub for the Jews. And so that's why they end up going there and saying, "Hey, do you know where this child is? This king that's been born, king of the Jews. This child's been born king of the Jews." And so, they have this meeting where these scholars come and they say, "Well, it's in Bethlehem, according to our understanding of the scriptures." And so once they're told where they're going to go, they start heading off, and again, the star appears. And this star appeared in such a way, so it was over the place mm-hmm. where the child was.
Right.
It wasn't just, in the general area. It gave them that divine, it was like GPS, right? So if you think about our lives, I think of my life, as someone young, was doing my own thing, was trying to figure out, how to live this life. I was going to school. I was, working for a company, and an individual came into a store that I was working at, and he acted like the star of Bethlehem to me. He communicated some things to me that caused me to go like, "Wow, what's going on here?" And so I started a relationship with him, and eventually Cal helped me realize that I needed Christ in my life. Mm-hmm. And that was even though I wasn't like saying, "Oh, I need Jesus," I was saying in my heart, "I need something more." I think I told you and may have told you guys, I was looking up the stars one time. I said, "There's got to be more to life than just life. Mm-hmm. There's got to be more to my existence here." Anybody else ever feel that? It's like, what's this all about? What's going on? What is really important? And to me, it was no answer when I asked myself that. But it wasn't too much longer that Cal, that that star came into my life, you know, that individual that God used to communicate to me. And all along the way of my life, he's done that. You know, he's given me little signs. He's had people speak to me. I mean, if you look here, this evil king and his men were used to help give them direction of where to go. You know, God can use, you know, anybody to give us the direction that we need. And when we are truly seeking him, he will make sure that we have the tools to find him. Mm-hmm. Now, if we're just playing games, say, oh, yeah, I really want God, but we don't do anything in our lives to show that we want to go after him, then it's difficult.
Right.
But if you're a true seeker, he will make sure that you find him.
Yeah.
You have something?
So, well, I'm just saying, this is number one. When you seek the Lord, he will be guiding your journey when you truly are seeking. You know the difference, and so does God. But when it's such a heart pull, such a depth, like that song that we sang, if you want it, come and get it. Like, God doesn't play games. If you want him, come and get him. He's drawing you. That's exactly what's happening. So number one is, when you seek the Lord, wise men and women seek the Lord, you are going to be guided by him on your journey.
Amen. That's good.
One.
Okay.
Number two.
When you seek the Lord, guess what? You will find him. When you seek him, you will find him. He's not going to stay, you know, elusive and say, oh, you're never going to catch me. No, when you seek him with all your heart, the scriptures say in Deuteronomy 4:29, go ahead.
But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul.
And Jeremiah 29:13, similar.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
So if you notice there, it's a condition. We can seek him, but we have to seek him in such a way that we're seeking him with all our heart.
Yeah.
And one says with all our soul.
Yeah.
So part of the thing is, I think, as believers, and I'm speaking for myself, that sometimes we can become passive in our Christian walk. We can become apathetic, so to speak.
Blase.
Complacent, so to speak. And you're not pursuing God with all your heart and with all your soul. You're pursuing him, you know, based upon the complacency that you're in. Well, I'll just, you know, go to church on Sunday, or, you know, I'll just throw a prayer up here every now and then, or I'll just, you know, and there's God isn't sitting up there and you know, marking this against you. Oh yeah, well they're not seeking. He's a good father, but he does desire us to come after him. He does desire us to seek him, but it does take a passion. It does take a persistence. It does take a determination to seek God. I mean, it's not just going to happen. And if we truly want to find him, now some will say, well, I have found him. I'm saved. I know the Lord. I'm going to go to heaven. But did you guys know that there's other levels in God? You know, there's other depths of the Lord that seeking requires it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Desiring more, you know. Like you said, if you want it, come and get it, for crying out loud. In other words, that person in that song is saying, he's right here, just come and get him.
Yeah.
But we have to desire him. We have to hunger him. We have to be at the place where we're not so satisfied with just our normal life that we'll just say, you know, I've got enough.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, we don't have enough. Yeah. We need more of God than ever. We need him to the very depths of our being. We need him so much that possibly our lives depend upon it, and we don't realize it.
I think that we will never be satisfied. I think when we get more, we'll only long for more, even more. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that when we search for him with all our heart, in spirit and in truth, we will never be satisfied. Because once we reach one particular level, it's the next level is attainable. And we know. And I can honestly say, and I don't know about you all, but I can honestly say my Christian walk doesn't look the same as it did 20 years ago.
Mm-mm.
But there are some people that it looks exactly the same. Identical. They've come to the same church and the same chair for 20 solid years, and they are still worshiping the Lord the same way. To me, that's not fulfilling. To me, God is saying, here's a little bit. Do you want a little bit more? He's made us to desire more.
It's almost like they've just become satisfied with appetizers.
Complacent, almost.
Appetizers.
Yeah.
You know, this little bit that I have is just fine. And not realize that there's an entire banquet table of himself that he's offered us.
Well, I remember when our youngest was a little baby, he loved his bottle so much. Like, he really loved his bottle. To the point that when we would sit down and have food, and he was old enough to eat regular food, if he had a bottle before that, he was completely satisfied, to the point that the nutritional food that we put down before him, the green beans, the protein, the little bit of starch, he really wasn't hungry for it because he had just satisfied himself with milk, a whole bottle of milk. But the problem was, it was a fake full. He was full for just a little bit, but then that milk went straight through to that diaper. And all of a sudden, 1 hour later, he's like, I'm hungry, you know? If we're going to sit down at the banqueting table of God, we cannot just be satisfied with milk. We can't be satisfied with the drink that's sitting there with your food. You have to eat more and want more. And then when you... It's like little babies with that jar of baby food, that little bit of banana or that applesauce. All of a sudden, they're like, their whole world opens up to, hey, there's more out there than just this bottle. I want some more. And that's how we are. There's something in us that's made in us by God to want more.
Mm-hmm.
But we have turned that off a lot of times, saying, you know, I went to church on Sunday. Check. I'm done. I did what I was supposed to do. Now next Sunday can come. But how many times have we known and learned through our services in between Sundays matters way more. What we do in our word and in prayer and in our lives with Jesus on Monday through Saturday, that's what gets us amped up for the next Sunday. Are we doing anything? Are we feeding ourselves in any way? If we're not, ask God. Ask him how. He'll tell you. He's good like that.
Yeah, there's a good scripture in Proverbs 27:7. It says, one who is full loathes honey, but to the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. So when you're really hungry, even the little scraps are delicious that Jesus has.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Final point. Now is the time for seeking the Lord.
Isaiah 55:66. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. 2 Corinthians 6:22. Okay, the first one was Isaiah 55:66. And then the next one is 2 Corinthians 6:22. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Now. Yeah, some people, I know I've talked to individuals saying, well, you know, right now my life's really good. You know, I don't have a lot of problems. You know, I've got a good job and all that stuff. And I'm enjoying life, you know, but someday I'll seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, someday I'll give my life to him, or someday I'll go to church. I mean, they have different things that they put into these different categories of what it means to be quote unquote religious. But, you know, it says here, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And, you know, that's a little bit of a challenging scripture. So is there a time that we could seek the Lord that he may not be found? I mean, the opposite of seeking the Lord while he may be found is you know, it's possible that if we don't seek the Lord, he may not be found. Now, I'm of the opinion that God is more seeking us than we can seek him.
Right.
That he's the one more at work in us than we're at, you know, at work trying to find him. Mm-hmm. But this is a challenging scripture. This is letting us know that there is a time to seek God. I know sometimes it's just that we're not ready in our life. For years, before I gave my heart when I was 19, many times people tried to talk to me about God, and it was just like blah 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 blah, just like the Charlie Brown, you know, adults, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, yeah, yeah, you know, smile, and it's like I didn't hear a thing. But when I was at the point when my heart was open to the Lord, and I mean, it's like there was a door that was open. I was ready to hear and receive, and that was my day of salvation. But we need to make sure that we're constantly realizing that the Lord is near and that we can seek him. And how do we seek him today? Well, we can seek him just by talking to him. It doesn't have to be anything, you know. You don't have to go on like a 40-day fast, you know, and give up, you know, television for 40 days or whatever it is. It could just be that, you know, you're seeking him more tomorrow than you did last week. Like, Lord, help me today to know you better. That's a good prayer. You know, he honors that prayer. Help me, Lord, to develop a seeking heart. Help me, Lord, to not desire things that are worthless. You know, like it says in the Psalms, Lord, keep my eyes from worthless things and revive me in your way. Psalm 119. Make sure that my heart is fixed on what's really important, not just all the fluff that's out there. Mm-hmm. How many of you, there's a lot of fluff out there?
Yeah.
How many can spend a lot of time on your phone if you don't watch it?
On fluff.
Or on your iPad or on your computer. Not you. Good job. No, that's not necessarily the case of everybody. You know, a lot of people struggle with how do they manage their time, and are they applying themselves to something that is of value, you know?
Well, and going back to what you were saying about when you were before 19 and people would be talking to you and you would hear them but not hear them.
Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's bring it in to right now, to today. We just prayed for Tanya up here. And 1 month ago, I can guarantee you, Tanya was not thinking she was going to lose her father and her mother was going to be in critical condition in hospital today. I can guarantee you she wasn't thinking that. I can guarantee you that God has drawn her closer to him through this time. We never know what's going to happen in our lives. We never know when the other shoe is going to drop. But what we do know is that if we seek God, we're going to find him. If we seek him with all of our heart, there's not a doubt he'll be found by us. And this last one, now is the time. When we seek him, now is the time to seek him. Now. Not when something drastic is happening. I know many times whenever I've had a situation in my life, I think of the Lord last instead of first. You know, I think, you know, I misfix it. I can fix it. I can fix anything. And that was one thing he didn't like when we first got married, was I was very independent. Very, very independent. In fact, 27 years later, he probably wishes I was a little bit more independent than I am right now. But I was very independent. But God is like, excuse me, I need you to be dependent on me. It's necessary that you're dependent on me. Because when you seek me, you're going to find the things that I want you to find, not the things that you want to find. When you seek me with all your heart. What are you saying, Herman?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not only going to seek the Lord the same.
No.
I mean, you may see somebody and go like, oh, they're just not seeking the Lord, you know, because they're not, from appearance, looking like they're doing it like you would.
Yeah.
But all of us are going to seek him in our own way. We're all going to, you know, if you think about it, during the Christmas time, the nativity, the incarnation of Christ, there was several different individuals that got ministered to during that time. There were the wise men, and they saw a star. God spoke to them and helped them seek him on the grounds that they could understand. There was, I think, Simeon and Anna. They were in the temple, and they had their hearts prepared by the Holy Spirit for him.
Their whole life.
Their whole life was prepared to be able to see him. We have the shepherds. You know, they had angels come and talk to them. You know, God gets our attention however he needs to. It's because he's all created us differently.
Yeah.
And we all will respond to him differently. What we need to know is, in our hearts of hearts, are we truly seeking him, or are we just playing games? Because if today is the favorable time, there may be an unfavorable time where, like you said, circumstances and situations have overwhelmed us, and it's difficult to seek him then. How many have met somebody or dealt with somebody that let life overwhelm them and they weren't prepared for the moment? Yeah, they can turn and they can start seeking, but it's harder then. It's hard to seek God when you're in crisis. I mean, I know I talk about this, but I remember, you know, being in the hospital and I didn't have the strength to seek him. But the years of seeking him before and learning to rest in him, the crisis was there, but it wasn't a crisis. I don't know how to put it into words. There was no fear of depending upon whatever would have happened. Now, maybe for you more fear, but even you were releasing and turning things over to the Lord. And that's because of his faithfulness. You can say, well, you know, it's all about the way you did it, Pastor. You got yourself up prepared. No, I just embrace his faithfulness. See, even when I wasn't faithful to him, he was still faithful to me, to the place where I could say, Lord, you are faithful and you are good. And sometimes it just takes a thank you to seek God. As a matter of fact, I think thanking the Lord is one of the best ways you can seek him.
Mm-hmm.
Thanking him for your parents, thanking him for your loved ones, thanking him for your job, thanking him for your school. Oh, think about it. Thanking him for your teachers. Speaking to students now. Thanking him for, you know, the friends that he's given you, good and bad.
Yeah.
Because he can use those things in your life to help you know him more. Mm-hmm. But it does take us to be appreciative and thankful. And well, I know it's not Thanksgiving, but it's appropriate. Yeah, exactly.
And when you said there can be a non-favorable time, I remember that time one of those times in my life, and that was when my first husband left me for another woman, and I wasn't prepared. I was just going along my merry way, and I was serving God, but I wasn't seeking God. Let me say that again. I was serving him, but I wasn't really seeking him. And through that time, I learned that seeking him is way more important than serving him. Oh, did I just say that? Yeah, I did. Because when I'm seeking him, I'm finding him, and I'm finding him in the fullness of who he is. That serving part, that serving, that just comes naturally. Seek is first, then serving. How do you know the difference? It's alphabetical. S-E-E-K comes before S-E-R-V-E.
Mm.
Seeking comes before serving. Seek him. He's going to be found by you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find the deepest love of your life. The deepest, most satisfying loving, wonderful thing you ever know.
Yeah.
We'll find him. During this time, we can get so caught up in all the trappings of the holiday time and all of that, but seek the best thing you'll ever have. All the rest will just come.
Yeah, that's good. Father, we just thank you for this time together, Lord. And right now, we just ask that you would help all of us, Lord, have seeking hearts. Lord, for those of us, Lord, that have become complacent or apathetic, Lord, or just happy with our current condition, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to realize that there's more. Lord, there's more than just appetizers. There's more than just pre-course meals. Lord, that you have a full banquet for us. Lord, I pray that you would just help us see things, Lord, as you see them. Help us to understand, Lord, what's important, what our priorities need to be. And Lord, help us to seek you with all our heart, with all our soul. Help us, Lord, to be in a place, Lord, where we're not satisfied. And we just release this into your hands, Lord, and say, work in each and every one of us, Lord, a deeper level of hunger and of seeking you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have a question. We're going to need some help getting to the projector. If anybody would be willing to help me, we're going to need some, I'll be setting up some scaffolding and stuff. And
this week, you mean?
Yeah, it'd probably have to be. We come in on Friday. Yeah, Thursday so night. Thursday night. So probably Friday and Saturday. So, Nancy, you're going to, Nancy's so like, oh, well. Anyone, if anyone can help, just let me know. Any young, strong individuals. I can work my way up there, but I'm still gaining strength after the stuff I went through. So, but I, you know, anyway, we're gonna have to fix it. Yeah, call what? Oh, call Tim. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, thank you. We love you. You have a blessed day, and remember, wise men and women still seek him.
Amen.
Yeah. I was starting to smell that smell.